Yeah, no.
Well, I want you to think for a moment about the amazing gifts that God has given us in our bodies, that being the senses that we have. The senses that we have as humans help us to live and to function in this world, to survive. And we have five senses, one being touch, taste, smell, sight, and hearing. These senses are important for us to function, to live in the everyday life. And for those who live without one, or perhaps two, will be able to tell you, if they can, how difficult it is and how hard their lives are. If a person loses their sight, for example, in an accident, this will have a huge effect on how the rest of their lives will be lived. If a person loses the touch, you know, have an accident, the nervous system breaks down in some way, it could be very difficult for them, say, for example, to pick things up or to walk properly because of them losing the touch or the ability to touch. Taste and smell, these are important, not just to give us a good time at a dinner party, but also to warn us about things, you know, smoke or gases, things like that. You know, is there dangers in what I'm going to eat, you know, amongst other things. And also we have sight and hearing, which are probably the most crucial senses. To lose the ability to hear would have an effect on so many areas of our lives. And for most of us, it would be hard for us to imagine a life without all five. We're all very blessed here, as far as I know. We all have our senses working, some greater than others. But it's a true blessing. But if you had to, for some reason, live without one of them, which one would it be? That'd be difficult to answer. And we wouldn't want to jump straight into it and say, oh, this or that. Because whatever we lose would have a huge effect on the rest of our body and the way that we live. And now as we come to the end of Mark 7, we find the account of a man who was brought to Jesus, and this man is without the sense of hearing. He is deaf. And to make it worse, he couldn't speak. He was either a mute or he had some difficulty in being able to communicate. Now, usually the gospel writers will tell us if a person who has been brought to Jesus was born with this condition or if it happened later on. This man was probably born healthy. He had his hearing, he had his voice, and something had happened that made him lose his hearing and his voice or his ability to communicate. I have a good friend who is mostly blind. He was born this way. His sight got worse as he got older. And for the things that we do in everyday life, usually impossible for him to do or very difficult. He cannot drive. He's never driven. He has to catch public transport everywhere. And it can be quite hard for him to do these everyday things. And I asked him one day, what is it that you actually see? What does it look like to you? And he described it to me. He said, it's very bright, but it's sort of blurry. But that's all he could say. He couldn't describe to me anything else because he never knew anything better. He didn't know anything different to what it was like to be blind. Now, for all of us here who can see, and for all of us who have our senses, imagine living a life for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and then all of a sudden an accident or something happens and you lose one. Imagine how traumatic that must feel. How stressful. The pain, the anguish in losing your hearing, not being able to speak. This is exactly how this man in Mark 7 would have felt. He had no hearing whatsoever. He could not speak. He could not communicate to his friends or to his family to tell them if he needed help, to tell them to go and do this for him, or he wants to do that. Walking down the street would be a stressful situation for him. Imagine if a horse was charging up behind him. He would get in the way of people all the time. Would you move for me? And he wouldn't hear them. It'd be dangerous. He would see his family and his friends in festivals and celebrations, sitting down, enjoying each other's company, playing, laughing, singing songs, and he would sit there silent, hearing nothing, being able to speak to no one, not being able to enjoy the conversations, not being able to hear his friends' voices, not being able to take part in a conversation. He would feel lonely. He would feel distant to most people. Probably always sorrowful. That is, until a man who once visited the area came, and we all know it was Jesus. If you remember back in Mark 5, Jesus healed the man with the unclean spirit, or spirits. And he was the man who was bound by chains, who broke loose. He wandered around the tombs, crying out in great pain. And of course, when Jesus came and he cast the demons out of the man, there was a huge transformation in the man. And he went around and he was proclaiming to everyone that Jesus had healed him. Jesus had cast these demons out of him. And everybody became to hear and know that there's this man, Jesus, who could do mighty things. And now we read in Mark 7 that Jesus and his disciples had returned to this same region, the region of the Decapolis, where his fame had already spread, where people had already heard about this man, Jesus. He was known. And so immediately we read that they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him, to lay his hands on them. That they could possibly mean his family or all his friends. We don't know, but we know that he was brought to Jesus. These people probably loved him. They wanted to see him healed. Now, if you recall some of the people we've seen who have been healed by Jesus, they would run to him themselves. It's only usually those who are suffering a great deal and cannot get to Jesus themselves who have been brought. And this man has been brought to Jesus. It's obviously very difficult for him without being able to hear, without being able to speak. He's suffering in a great deal. And this has caused a lot of grief to his friends and to his family as well. They've brought him before Jesus. They beg him, not just ask, but they beg him to lay his hands on this man. And Jesus does something that's very unexpected. See, he would normally heal people, you know, either then and there on the spot, or he will tell them that as they go, something will happen and you'll be healed. But we read that Jesus did this. He took him aside from the crowd privately. Now, this would not be a normal healing. There is something different here that Jesus is going to do. He separated him from the rest of the crowd. Now, this would be a strange thing for us to read as we continue to read on, but not for this man. We have to think about it from his perspective. Excuse me. Jesus didn't say to him, "You're healed." He didn't say, "Go your way, and when you arrive home, you'll be healed." He took this man away from the crowd, okay? Now, remember the crowds that follow Jesus. We're not talking about just 100 people here. We're talking about thousands. Thousands of people would follow Jesus, would flock to Jesus, would want to hear what he's going to say, want to see what he's going to do. And so Jesus takes him out of this place, very privately. And he does exactly what the man's friends or family had asked him. They begged him to lay his hands on him. Now remember, this is not always needed for Jesus to heal someone. He doesn't need to lay his hands on anyone to heal them. He can simply say it, and they'll be healed. This time, he does what they begged him to do, but he does even more than that. Even more than what they ask. He didn't just place his hands on the man to heal him. Jesus went exactly to the problem areas, to the areas that he needed to be healed, the very parts of his body that were broken. And we read this. Speaking about Jesus, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting on his fingers, he touched his tongue. Now, this would have been an amazing moment for this man. Jesus placing his fingers into the deaf man's broken ears, touching his broken tongue. Now remember that this man still has the sense of touch. And so Jesus is using it in a mighty way to show him that he will be healed in exactly these two ways. And in front of this man's face, this man who could say nothing, who could hear nothing, but he was obviously up close with Jesus, seeing him face to face. And he watches Jesus. And we read that Jesus looked up to heaven and he sighed. Now the word for sigh here can mean to groan or to mourn. So he's not sighing as if, oh, you know, I've got to heal someone again. All these people come to me and want to be fixed. He's not sighing like that. He's sighing because he's looking at this man in the face who has been suffering, who's in anguish, in pain. And he sees the effects of this world, this fallen world, on this man in front of him. He's groaning because he sees what's happening to his creation. It's not that he's looking at this man and he's annoyed. He's looking at this man and he has compassion on him. And he shows him grace. And Jesus looks up to heaven. And he says, Ephphatha, which is Aramaic for be opened. Be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Now remember that Jesus had just taken this man away from this crowd of people, and he's done this for a reason. What Jesus has done is made it so that the very moment this man's ears are healed, the very first voice he will hear is Jesus' voice. And on healing this man's mouth, on healing his tongue, the very first thing that this man does is what? Is proclaim Jesus. That's what he did. Proclaimed the miracle to the world around him, telling these people about Jesus, what he had done. Now, what I find interesting about this miracle is what it means for this man, not just in the sense of being healed, but what his life would now look like after that. What's amazing is that his ears were open to not just the sounds of the world, to hearing his friends, but they were open to the voice of Jesus first. That's what's most important. Remember how many times Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear? That's because there's so many people who would hear, or would listen, I should say, but wouldn't hear. But this man could now hear Jesus. And in a world, in a culture where oral learning was huge, they wouldn't sit and read a book. They would be told stories, told events, told things about God, and they would remember them. Whereas these days, it's different because we can read a book, we can read a newspaper, we could Google something. Very different. And now this man's ears were open to Jesus and his mouth was restored so that now he can communicate with his friends. Yes, big whoop. What's more important is now he can proclaim the goodness of God, and that's exactly what he does. Both of these are so crucial in the Christian life. Hearing God and proclaiming him. So important. And this is exactly what Jesus makes a reality for this man. Let me read from Romans 10, verse 13 to 14. And listen carefully. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here's the questions. Well, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him on whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? See that Paul focuses on these two areas as well. Both hearing and preaching or proclaiming. Just like this man in Mark 7. It's amazing that this is the two ways that Jesus heals this man. This is the two ways that he was broken. And he restores them both. And it's amazing because Paul says that these ways are necessary or important for us for salvation. Now, I'm not saying that if you're deaf, you cannot be saved. And the Bible doesn't say that either. But the normal way, the norm that the gospel is spread is by proclamation. By people spreading the gospel, talking about the gospel. Of course, we have the Bible to read now. So if you're deaf, or if you're going deaf, or if you know somebody who's deaf, show them the scriptures. There's many ways that we can hear the gospel. But the normal way that God works through us is by the preaching and the proclamation of the gospel. So for this man, Jesus didn't just open up his ears to hear. He opened up his ears to hear his voice, to hear Jesus' voice. And the second was his mouth. How can anyone hear without someone preaching the gospel? Paul asked the question. And this man went on to do exactly what Romans 10 was talking about. He proclaimed the goodness of Jesus. He proclaimed the miracles of Jesus. And how much more should we, who have our five senses, do exactly that? Proclaim the goodness of Jesus. This man wasn't telling everyone either that, oh, I can now hear everyone. Look, you can see me speaking. He wasn't doing that. He was focusing on Jesus and Jesus alone. The next few verses tell us that he was proclaiming Jesus and what Jesus had done. That was his focus. It wasn't just saying, now I'm better. He was saying, this man, Jesus, he's the one who healed me. That was where his focus was. There's a big difference between boasting about what you have or boasting in Christ. That's what he was doing. And now because of this, we see that Jesus again told these people to stop. Don't go and tell everybody about what I have just done for you. This is something we see repeatedly in the Gospels. And it seems strange, doesn't it? But if you recall, back in Mark 1, Jesus healed the man from leprosy. And what did he say? The same thing. Don't go and tell everyone. What did the man do? He went and told everyone. And so that we see, Jesus was swamped by thousands of people coming into the villages and getting all in Jesus's, you know, up in his face and trying to touch him, trying to be healed by him, trying to hear what he's going to say. He's swamped by these crowds of people, so much so that he went out into the wilderness and they followed him out there. But Jesus doesn't want that to happen because it's more important for him to tell people the gospel, to tell them about the kingdom of God, than it is for him to heal people. That's far more important. And so Jesus tells them not to do it. And yet the more he tells them not to do it, the more zealous, the more excited they become, and the more passionately they begin to proclaim the goodness of Jesus and tell people about how he has healed him. And now some people have said, oh, these people, they are disobeying Jesus. Well, I guess, yes, they are disobeying Jesus, but I would never point the finger at them for that. For going and proclaiming this. On the other hand, I will personally. I will learn from them. As I hope we all can. I have a voice. I have ears to hear, as we all do. So what I must do, what we all must do, is hear the word of God. And in hearing the word of God, we must then go forth and proclaim the word of God. That's what we should be doing. Just like this man. We have ears to hear. And these people who stood back and saw these things, they said, he does all things well. He does all things well. They cannot fault him on a thing. And so they proclaimed him. Jesus also does more than just healing, as we know very well. He guarantees salvation for those who love him and who trust in him. And that's what's most important. As we had read to us earlier, I'll close with this, Psalm 115. Focus on the first part of Psalm 115. Because that's exactly what this man was doing. This is exactly how he was proclaiming God. Let me read it to close. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for this account in Mark, for revealing to us how you have worked in the lives of so many people, not just by healing them physically, but by giving them ears to hear the gospel, mouths to proclaim. And we pray that this will be true for each of us, that we too may have the ears to hear, we may have the mouths to proclaim, and the boldness to stand up for you. Now, Father, we ask, as we know this is difficult for us to do, we ask that you will bless us greatly and help us to be able to do exactly as this man has done in Mark 7. So we pray these things, and we come before you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.